Welcome back, everyone, for this week's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is going to be episodes number 27 and 28 of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, which took place August 1st and August the 8th of 1992. So we got a 2-for-1 here today, and there's a reason for us doing it. It's because basically these were the last two shows that aired before Fire on the Mountain. 28 was kind of a bit of a recap from some of the previous episodes, and there was a new match at the end. But with all that being said, we're still in Polk County High School, Benton, Tennessee. Doc, how you doing, man?
You know, I've never lied to the people, so might as well be honest from the get-go. Doc's a little hungover this morning, so what I'm in the Smoky Mountain sweatshop, though, we keep going forward. So what I'm going to say is you guys do all the work, take all the moves, get everything done, and when it's time for the pin, y'all tag me in. I'll come in, hook the leg, get the 1-2-3. We all go to the pay window. You know what I'm saying?
That's not how it works in pro wrestling. I was up all night sick as a dog, so I don't want to hear that bullshit from you, all right? You come here, you pull your fucking weight, or you don't show up.
All right, Harper. It looks like you're going to have to carry things.
Fuck that. I'm coming in for a hot tag.
All right, well, let's get things kicked off, man, before we all pass out, since none of us want to be here today. We got Dutch and Bob setting the table. They tell us at the stud stable, Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden will be guests on Down and Dirty with Dutch. So this should be a good one as we proceed through this week's episode. Bob Cottle reminds us that we are a week away from Fire on the Mountain and that they'll be taking a look back at the feud between the Heavenly Bodies and the Fantastics. And boy, do they take a look back at the feud. It's about 12 minutes of airtime. Bob Cottle throws us to the ring. Doc, you got any thoughts on the opening segment?
Just that the stud stable has been very impressive so far, and I think it's going to continue as we head to the ring.
I agree. Harper, you got anything?
No, just Ricky Dye needs to eat some salads and get a haircut. That's about it.
So what Harper is referring to is we go to the ring and we got Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden, the stud stable, versus Richie Dye and Ben Jordan. Doc, you want to tell us who this Richie guy is? Richie Dye
I couldn't really find much about it, so I'm just going to say he's a job guy who's about to catch a whooping.
All right. So before the match gets started, Cottle tells us about how Fuller and Golden have been together as a team for over 20 years. I'll let the good people in Smoky Mountain tell me if that is exactly accurate. Cottle also tells us that they've been USWA tag champs, Continental tag champs, to name a few. And I just got to say, man, Fuller is a big old country boy. Jimmy Golden is too. They both, I mean, Fuller especially, they just look like what I remember wrestlers looking like back then. Just a big shit-kicking cowboy boot-wearing ass kicker. The kind of people, like, if you were in a bar, you would definitely want a Robert Fuller on your side. Would that be an accurate statement, Doc?
Absolutely. He might be one of those guys that says, hey, let's go out to the bar tonight and either pick up some women or kick some ass, or maybe both.
Yeah.
Maybe both. I think I could agree with that. So, but look, this is a quick match. I don't know if I've seen a submission like that before. I've seen a move like that before, but
yeah, I was wondering about that. Is that his finish?
I don't know, Doc. You've seen some. I haven't seen enough of Robert Fuller to know, to be honest with y'all.
My notes were that's an impressive finisher.
I mean, basically, it's a rest hold more than anything, but right. He turned it into a finisher. So
he started bending it back where it wasn't a rest hold, though.
Right, right. But anyway, so I was good with that. You know, you're building them up. They're in this feud with the Rock and Roll. So hey, let's give them a win, obviously. And let's be real.
You can't take off your cowboy boot and hit them with it every time.
Well, and let's be real. You didn't think Richie Dye and Ben Jordan were going to win that match for a second. It is what it is. We go to the next segment. It is a replay of the Ricky Morton promo. I don't have much to add here. We discussed it in detail last week. Ricky Morton obviously is in the territory, so I'll move on. We got Bob Cottle and Dutch, and they're followed by a promo with Ronnie Garvin after the Ricky Morton promo. And Cottle says, how dangerous is the pile driver? Cottle says he'll tell us and to just watch this segment. Now, I did not look back to see exactly how long ago this was, but Doc, this had to be 3 to 4 months ago, this segment, when they showed Orndorff pile driving basically the entire roster of jobbers. Would you agree?
Yeah, and Orndorff was throwing pile drivers to everybody.
Yeah. It was almost like what you saw Austin do in the 90s when he just started handing out stunners to the entire roster, except it was a pile driver. And we then, after the pile drivers, we get the Garvin pile driver versus pile driver promo from last week, and Garvin repeats that when he pile drives someone, they don't live to tell about it. I didn't have anything else here, so I'm just going to keep it moving. Harper, you had anything?
No.
Yeah, me either. Doc, what about you?
Mm-mm.
All right. So, do y'all want to hear another Tim Horner promo?
Oh, God. Sure. Why yeah. not? Can't wait.
Can't wait. So,
make me feel smart.
Bring. What do you need to do when you are feeling down? Play a Tim Horner promo. He'll bring your morale right back up because you know you're better than
that. And I got to quit. And you got to make me say quit. And then you got to make the dog bark quit.
So let's throw it to Tim Horner promoing about his I Quit match with Buddy Landell for, I don't know, maybe the 1 millionth time.
All right, fans, with me right now, here's White Lightning Tim Horner. Tim, I've been talking with you about it. You got a smile on your face. You seem to be extremely happy because I think you see a light at the end of the tunnel as far as Buddy Landell's concerned.
Well, actually, I'm gritting my teeth, Bob. Have you seen Buddy Landell?
I haven't seen him.
Have you seen him around here? Did you see him last week?
No.
Where is Buddy Landell? Anybody seen Buddy Landell? You know, he seems to be hiding. You know, he's missed a few matches. He's not showing. Who knows? He may be in jail somewhere, for all I know. But he's scared. Somebody said he's scared. Maybe that's it, Buddy Landell, because this I Quit match means I got to make you say I quit. There's no doubt in my mind, Buddy Landell, that I can make you say quit. There's a big doubt in my mind that you can make me say quit, because I'm not a quitter. I said it last week, and I say it again. A quitter never wins, and a winner never quits. And I'm going to get you, Landell, so just put your name on the dotted line, and I'll see you wherever you are if you've got the guts to show up.
All right, Tim Horner with that I Quit match against Buddy Landell. Fans, don't go away. We'll have more action right after we take time out for this.
I don't want to ever hear the word quit ever again in my life.
For real.
I want to hear it one more time when he says it, when Buddy Landell makes him tap out.
That's the only time you want to hear it, right? Hey, so I did a little research. Well, first off, we know Horner points out that Buddy Landell is missing in action and he's been hiding. My only other note on this promo is, again, I don't care if I don't want to hear Tim Horner say I quit anymore. I just don't. I can't take it. This is about the 1 million promo we've heard it. But, Doc, you remember from a few weeks back, maybe months back now, on a Jim Cornette Experience where Cornette talked about the real heat between Landell and Horner?
Yeah.
Well, I was looking back after I originally took notes on this episode. So I went back and did some research on the tapings for episodes 25 through 28, which we've done the last few weeks, and of course right now. And I gotta tell you, they were at Polk High School for four different tapings for basically a month's worth of TV. Reported attendance was 200, but guess who wasn't at the tapings? Buddy wasn't there. So I'm curious if, like, Cornette was like, man, you're stirring up too much shit. I don't want you at this show. I don't want you on these tapings. We'll see you again at Fire on the Mountain. Now, as I say that, he did appear on some house shows. I did do some research, and I believe it was on, you know, the taping on the 6th. He was on the taping on the 10th, so maybe not. But not the taping, but there was a house show on the 10th that he was at where he actually did work Horner. But I just found it funny that, I don't know, I wonder if, it makes you wonder if something was there. It was like, look, man, this is too much. It's too much going on. Yeah, we'll bring you in on the house shows, but fuck this. You're not going to be at this taping. I don't know. Is it just me in my mind that I'm thinking something's going on because of what Cornette said?
I think you're overthinking it, but I did wonder what, if Horner was kind of shooting when he goes, maybe he's in jail.
Yeah, let me tell you something. What wrestlers, you never know. So who knows? I was going to let's. You got anything else, Doc or Harper?
No.
All right.
No, ma'am.
I was going to play this next promo, but I don't know if I can hear Horner say I quit again. So are y'all okay with me moving forward here?
Rocket move.
Okay. A few weeks back, we go to a segment where it's Dixie and Killer Kyle. A few weeks back, we talked about this. They cut off the end of the match from the copy we have. After Dixie wins, Killer Kyle keeps his heat, tapes Dixie to the top rope by the right fist. Kyle then proceeds to lay waste to Dixie. Well, at this point, Dixie does respond via a promo that I'm going to play in a second for us all.
You know, Killer Kyle, it takes a real tough man to tape a man that's about, say 80 pounds lighter than him, tape him to the rope, and then beat his brains out where he can't defend himself. Got his hands all taped up and just have a field day all over him. That takes a real tough guy. Well, now, brother, what they've done, Dixie Dynamite has kicked out, and he's back and coming straight at you. And they said that we're going to be able to tape both our fists up. Everybody in the ring got their fists taped up. That sounds good to me, brother, because what I'm going to do is Dixie D, jab, bob, weave, and stick you all over, brother. 80 pounds heavier than me and not an ounce of it guts. Dixie D coming straight at you, tape, fist, and all.
All right, Harper, you got any thoughts about the Dixie Dynamite promo?
The best part was the end when he says, you're 80 pounds heavier and none of his guts. I mean, for the most part, it's just like, you know, whatever.
Dixie Harper. Scott Armstrong did tweet out another episode this week as we record this. Yes. Doc, your thoughts?
I've decided that Scott Armstrong is probably not the source of my disdain. It's that damn Confederate flag Dixie Dynamite persona. But I'm just going to say this. Taped fist or whatever we're doing here does not favor the Double D and his sparklers.
he did tweet out that, like, someone actually, it was Mullet of Morton. We were recording this on February the 10th, 2017. Mullet of Morton tweeted out to Scott Armstrong that he liked the Dixie Dynamite gimmick in Smoky Mountain, and Scott Armstrong retweeted it and responded saying that Dixie D was over. And I started.
He was
that.
Over.
Right. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan was over. It don't mean I like him.
Well, that's a good point too. But he did. I mean, he was over. We're giving it a hard time, but he was over. So I like.
He's
kind of.
He's an Armstrong. He's wearing a Confederate flag, and he's wrestling in Eastern Tennessee. I'm pretty sure that's going to get over.
Yeah, in 1992.
He
1982,
was
1992, 2017.
That's nice.
Why are you talking about the people, man, the good mountain people like that, Doc? Come on now.
Yeah. Hill folk.
Tennessee.
Man, Tennessee. All right, well, let's go to the next segment because we have a match with Dixie Dynamite and the Stormtrooper. No sparklers this time, Harper. Unfortunately, I think the sparklers may have been a one-time thing in that other high school gym they were in. I think so, because he hadn't had sparklers since then. Correct me if I'm wrong, BTT Army and Smoky Mountain fans. But
hey, sparklers cost money, dude.
Sparklers don't make the budget, bro, when you're running a small-time promotion, partner. All right, so let's further analyze this match, Doc and Harper.
Who's fighting here?
We got a fucking Nazi named the Stormtrooper versus Dixie Dynamite in a Confederate flag gimmick.
Dude, this reminds me of something from, like, Family Guy or something.
who's the baby face here?
Well, I think the baby face is obviously Dixie Dynamite. However, it still doesn't take away the fact that we got a fucking Nazi versus a Confederate flag.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Hey,
that goes to show you. We can be allies with, depending on who the enemy is, you can maybe be an ally. Let's not forget World War II when the United States was allies with fucking Russia, okay?
This is like after 9/11 when white people looked at black people and were like, y'all aren't so bad compared to all these Middle Eastern bastards.
Jesus Christ. God damn, Doc. But no, it just, like, when you see this match and you see it get started, you're like, holy fuck, could you imagine seeing that on Monday Night Raw?
Is this the quintessential and best example, most blatant example in Smoky Mountain of something you could not do today?
No.
That's my point. It's like
who
go ahead,
would cheer for the Nazi? Like, even in, like, Germany, they wouldn't cheer for him. And it's like, God, I can't see. It's just so fucking crazy to see him.
And now we're back. I'm back thinking about what if these two went to the same old lady, the seamstress. Now you want what, honey? Oh dear. And you want what? Oh Lord.
I think it's a great comparison when you see these two in a match together. Just like, holy shit, we got a Nazi and a fucking Confederate flag gimmick. This is great. This is wrestling. But, you know, I mean, like, we're contrasted, you know, by today's standards, and obviously you'd never see anything remotely close to this. But you look at it, this is 1992, man. It doesn't seem that long ago. However, it is what it is, man.
What's the Stormtrooper?
I think... Yep.
Bo James said when he was on the show that there were a couple of different guys. So this is not the first guy that was in USA Wrestling that, I guess you could say, boy, I don't want to be careful with my words here, that made the Stormtrooper famous in USA Wrestling. This is a different guy, but I can't remember his name.
Tim Fry, right? Or is that, I thought is, that was Tim I thought Fry that was the one from USA?
I thought that was the original one, but I'm not sure.
That might be the case. I might be not remembering it right. So, I'm sure we can look it up. But yeah, Tim Fry was the one in USA. But maybe this is someone else. You know what? Now that you say that, Doc, Tim Fry was on a very first episode of Smoky Mountain, and this guy does not look like he's got the same build as the Tim Fry I saw without a mask. So you're probably right on that one. All right, y'all. So let's move forward with this match. Just get into it. So this is the battle of the gimmicks. You'll just, again, never see in wrestling again. And I just remember at one point, Dutch says he was Dutch was talking about the Stormtrooper, saying that he's a little slow because he was from Germany and it was around the 2025 mark. This match is probably not the most exciting, but you know, the good stuff came at the end because Killer Kyle comes out after Dixie hits Stormtrooper with a Confederate kick. With help from the Stormtrooper, Kyle begins to put the boots to Dixie. Kyle then takes out a coat hanger and starts choking Dixie Dynamite. And Gary Scott and Ben Jordan hit the ring to save Dixie. Well, Kyle disposes Scott and Jordan like two fucking gnats. He just throws them off of him, and they took a couple of hellified bumps. And then the shit hits the fan. Hector Guerrero comes out. And when I say he wraps a metal chair around Killer Kyle's head, that Killer Kyle completely no-sells, I really mean he wrapped the chair around Kyle's head. Bullet Bob runs out and gets in between Hector and Kyle. In the meantime, Dutch yells, "Hector, you better get out of there, you crazy Mexican!" I'll throw it to Harper first, and he can tell us what he thought about Killer Kyle getting the chair wrapped around his head and then Dutch's commentary.
I tell you, this is... the few time, like, Killer Kyle's, like, anything to do with him, like, drew me in. Like, what the fuck? What's he gonna do now?
That was some. I just don't remember in '92 somebody getting hit with
for
a chair
real
and no selling it. Like,
he just completely no selled it, and it was the first time because something with him that like had me thinking, oh shit, okay, what the fuck's gonna happen now?
Yeah, that was a strange, like I said, I don't remember in that time period of watching wrestling people getting hit with metal chairs and no selling it.
No, I mean, because back then they were like the nuclear bomb of fucking weapons.
Right.
When it came to wrestling.
Yeah, when you got hit back then with a chair, you went down and you sold it. He just completely like, nope. What the hell was that? That's all you got, boy? Go ahead, yeah. Doc. You got something?
Well, I thought we were riding a wave of possible racist angles, so I guess Dutch had to get involved by calling Hector a crazy Mexican, which is technically, you know, not racist, but certainly sounds weird. You know, that chair shot was something, and you know, that's one of those moments that they always talk about where even the guy that phony wrestling and they go, but that was real. So yeah. Much so that they showed the chair on the way on the bumper to commercial, and that shit was bent up like it'd been run over by a car. So that was that, like Harper said, that was the first time where like Killer Kyle did something and I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, from the start, they didn't really, I would say from the start, at the very beginning of Smoky Mountain, they really didn't, you know, he, what did he do? Robert Gibson beat him on, like, the very first match of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So when you saw him back then, you were like, oh, who's this guy? But, man, I mean, ever since that, if you go back to like episodes 3 and 4, they started to build him where he wasn't beating anyone credible. He was just, you know, beating the jobbers, but he was still beating people. But
okay, again, I got a question.
What?
So he's out there in a suit. You know, sometimes he wrestles, he's just in a shirt and slacks, but he's in a suit there. Harper, you wear a suit. Do you wear a suit jacket?
Yeah.
It doesn't have sleeves on it, though.
Well, okay. Yeah. Let's imagine that it did. How hard is it to do wrestling moves with a suit jacket?
Yeah, that would
on?
Suck, huh?
that was kind of the underrated impressive part for me, I thought, was he's out there no-selling shit and throwing people around in a suit. I don't like being in a suit, period.
Yeah, for real.
I don't like being in a suit, period, either, but I'd imagine it's pretty hard. I mean, you look at the DCC in Impact Wrestling before they were unmasked and they were wearing those suits. I was like, how the hell are they working in that shit?
Right.
There's no way. I mean, it's just awkward, dude, to have suit jacket. No. No, thank you. So that probably was pretty damn hard. All right, y'all got anything else on Killer Kyle's no sell of the chair shot?
Nah, bro.
Okay, let's go to Down and Dirty with Dutch with the Stud Stable, Robert Fuller, Jimmy Golden. And I'm just going to say before I play this, I laughed my ass off at this fucking promo. So let's play it now and get everybody's thoughts.
Welcome, everybody, to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantel, and you're not. And this is a proud, proud moment. This is one of the greatest moments of my life. My special guest today, none other than the Tennessee Stud, Robert Fuller, my good friend, and Jimmy Golden. You can hear the people love him. And, Rob, I missed you, and I am glad you can be a guest on my show. And I want you to tell the people, we're talking about rock and roll a little earlier, and what's going to happen to them.
Before we get into rock and roll too much, I got to tell you, man, thank you so much for inviting me out here. This is one of the greatest days of my life. I'd have drove 1,000 miles just to be on your part of the program. I got to tell you something that don't have anything to do, I guess, with these boys were wrestling, but this is a little story you might like to hear. I went home, getting shut up out there a little bit. Let me get where I can. I went home the other night, and I was feeling all worn out and everything. And I got out of my car and went down to the barn like I always do, and I'm walking through the barn there and looked over in the stable, and there's two little brand new twin ponies in there. I saw them laying in there. As soon as I saw them, first thing come to my mind, I said, I'll call one Ricky and I'll call one Robert. I went over to them and I got hold of them ponies by the hair, one on each side like that, and I went to kicking them ponies. I whooped them and they yapped and screamed. Everybody in the mountain said, Stud's done, come home. And they was right. But you know, when I got done with the ponies, here's where I want to make the point. I went over to sit down in the corner. I was kind of windy and sitting there, and the ponies come over and just waggle over, laid down, put their heads down in my lap, one here and one there, looks up at me, them old brown eyes, Ricky and Robert. You know what they're saying to me, Doug?
What?
They're saying, Stud, I love you.
Hey, I can't say it. Hey, that just goes to show you, you can whoop a little respect into people like that, dogs and all of them. And if you take Ricky and Robert right like that, they'll come to us if you whip them good enough. Ricky will lay his head in your lap, Robert will lay his head in my lap, and they'll look up at us and say, I love you.
Exactly, exactly. See, there's fine differential, baby, between whooping somebody, putting them out, and darn right killing them. You boys ain't getting off the hook when you meet the likes of Golden and Fuller.
There you heard it, ladies and gentlemen. My good friends, Robert Fuller, Jimmy Golden, Rock and Roll, they're coming after you. I'll be back again next week, and we'll be right back in 2 minutes. Don't go away.
You were great.
Doc, I gotta ask you, what did you think?
I don't know what to think.
You can't tell me that wasn't great. You can't say that wasn't great.
Oh, I just, what the hell?
That's so original. Oh my God, that's so awesome. That's all you got is, I don't know what to think? Come on, man, you gotta have more than that.
Just, I got a mental picture of Ricky and Robert with their heads in the Stud Stable's laps, and I didn't like it.
Okay. But it was a heat generator, though.
It made me uncomfortable.
Shut the fuck up. Whatever. Harper, what did you think, man?
It definitely, he told a story. And he gave you a visual of Ricky and Morton just a Ricky and fucking Robbie just sitting there fucking looking up like, I love you, with his fucking one eye going this way and the other one kind of looking at the other one, just, I love you, just, oh, thanks for kicking my ass, Tennessee Stud. That was great. It's, I mean, that's just another one of those things where you couldn't do now.
No, because, you can't talk about beating no ponies now. Nah. Fucking Peter be on your ass.
Damn fucking horses and shit, yeah.
The thing that kept cracking me up, or the what cracked me up the most amongst everything there, was when Fuller is wrapping up his part of the story and tells Dutch, they looked up and said, I love you. And Dutch, Golden, and Fuller start fucking laughing like a bunch of fucking, just, they lose their shit. And they're laughing and cracking up like they told this joke. It wasn't like that pitiful promo where Tim Horner said, you want to see the fastest gun in the West? That kind of laugh. It was a laugh of, yeah, we know we're being stupid, so we're going to laugh at our own stupidity. That's what I liked about it. It was great, man. It was fantastic. Doc, you got anything else before we move on?
No, let's go back and look at a long recap.
I'm shocked you didn't have more from that.
That shit was awesome.
It was great.
It was good. I don't know what you want me to say. I like them.
Next segment, we go to Bob. It's Cotto and Dutch at the desk, as usual. And Dutch throws us to an entire recap of the feud between the Heavenly Bodies and the Fantastics. And when I say the entire feud, I mean, they go all the way back to episodes 13 and 14 when the Heavenly Bodies first won the tag team titles, the first ever Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight tag team belts. They also show the brawl backstage. And then at about the 33:15 minute mark, we see the ending of the Summer Blast street fight brawl, where the lighting is not just bad, it's just terrible. As we said on a previous episode, the Heavenly Bodies did win the match, and they retained the tag titles when Dr. Tom hit Bobby Fulton with a loaded boot to the back of the head. Harper, you finally got to see the street fight with these two. Is this what you wanted?
Yeah. Okay. And you know what I loved? When they showed the recap of the fighting, I forget which one it is, but he's fucking choking them with a goddamn volleyball net. Fucking hilarious.
Harper find another Easter egg. I remember that now that you said it, but yeah, he choked him with
the
volleyball.
Fuck?
That brawl, we talked about that brawl during the episode that it aired. That shit went on forever. Like, it was one of those things where you're watching it going, okay, they gotta be wrapping up soon. Oh, no. No.
Taurus.
Okay, they're still fighting. All right, they're still fighting. Wow, okay. And they showed that shit in its entirety this episode, too. I timed that segment out, dude. It had to be like 12 minutes long from the start to finish. That was a quarter of this week's episode, that segment. So anyway, that was we get a wrap-up of it. Doc, did you have anything from that segment that you wanted to share? I mean, we've talked about that a lot over the last couple
months. Yeah, it was
just
super. It was ridiculous how dark it was in that ring, but whatever.
Yeah, it was what it was. So, okay, well, after the recap of the segment, we go to a Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette promo. Now, you got to remember, this is technically the go-home show before Fire on the Mountain, although it is episode 27, and there's one more that airs after this next week. But this is, I guess you would call it, the go-home promo from the Heavenly Bodies and Cornette related to the Fire on the Mountain barbed wire cage match, so to say. So let's play it here.
All right, fans, at Fire on the Mountain, the Fantastics, the Heavenly Bodies, the barbed wire cage match. Jim Cornette, I know you've been smiling and laughing about. Hey, Bob Armstrong, though, he's going to even things up, the special referee.
Let me tell you something about Bob Armstrong. He always takes care of his friends. He always takes care of the people that mean something to him. Watch out with that stuff, Tom. But I tell you what, Bob Armstrong, you're going to be in the middle of this, too. This is just a small taste. A 10-foot-high cage made out of 4-pronged barbed wire, brother. It'll rip cows. It'll rip horses. It'll dadgum sure rip Fantastics. And Bob Armstrong will have to be in that, too. You see, the Heavenly Bodies, they're real men. They're something that you people in this area aren't used to seeing. They're tough. They got guts. Not like these pansies. Not like these wallflowers out there. And not like the Fantastics. You know what the Fantastics remind me of? They remind me, I don't know. Tom, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Is a tomato, is it a fruit or a vegetable? Or maybe in this case, the Fantastics are fruits we're going to turn into vegetables in the barbed wire cage. You see, Tom has on the heavy-duty gloves. Watch out, don't squeeze too hard. Now, this one right here, man, this reminds me of Jackie Fulton. He's got the little chubby cheeks. He's the young one. Well, Jackie Fulton, you get in that barbed wire. I don't want to cut myself. You get in that barbed wire cage, brother. Oh, yeah. And that's what happens to the little one. All the stuff starts squirting right out of it. And then this one right here, brother, this reminds me of Bobby. He's got this rotten place right in his head. Well, Bobby, oh, yeah, oh, right down the barbed wire. And you see what's going to happen to the Fantastics. Smoky Mountain Tag Team title. Fire on the mountain, brother. Piece by piece and inch by inch, we're going to make you coleslaw, Fantastics. Watch out, Tom. Don't get hurt right now.
All right, fans. We'll be back. We'll have more right after this.
Doc, I'll throw it to you first. Cornette, go home promo before Fire on the Mountain in the cage match in the barbed wire cage, I should say.
Great stuff, and obviously something else you couldn't do in 2017, calling him a fruit that you're going to turn into a vegetable. But a great line.
That one caught me. I actually, it was up real quick. Before he got to that point, I was like, it's an average one from Cornette. And he said that. I was like, what the shit? But go ahead.
Well,
I'm sorry.
The other thing is I felt bad for Dr. Tom there because with those gloves on and handling that barbed wire, he couldn't get to his hair. So if you're watching this and you sit down with a snifter of brandy or whatever it is you drink while you're watching and listening to this show, the drinking game doesn't work here because Pritchard had big, thick brown gloves on and was handling barbed wire. So
That never crossed my mind, but I'm glad we got your analysis on that one. Harper, you had anything else before we move forward?
I mean, I just love that turning the fruit to a vegetable. That shit was awesome.
I like the line that all the stuff starts squirting out of him.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. I also like when he said, we're going to turn him into coleslaw. I mean, he think coleslaw shredded. Yeah, that was pretty good. I you know, again, go home promo. It's Cornette, and he's doing his thing, so we got to like it. All right, we go to the next segment. It's a match with Primetime Brian Lee versus Gary Scott, but then it turns into a match with Primetime Brian Lee versus Dirty White Boy. I'm starting to notice that Smoky Mountain does do this from time to time, where if a match gets interrupted in this case, I can't remember the exact time they've done it before, but it seems like this has happened a few times where the match ends quick and they're like, oh no, we got a new one going here. So match takes it through. This match between the Primetime Brian Lee and Gary Scott one is like instantly over. I mean, 30 seconds at best. As soon as it ends, Dirty White Boy sends a stormtrooper into the ring, who's then followed by Paul Lee. Finally, the Dirty White Boy hits the ring and begins whooping up on Primetime Brian Lee. At some point during the match, though, between them, Dutch says something about only one person can hold the heavyweight title at one time, and Cotto says, did you go to Stuttgart University to learn that, Dutch? Look at Bob Cotto throwing a jab, Doc.
He's tired of the shit he's had to take for four, five, 6 months from Dutch.
Did you catch that, though, when he said it?
Yeah, I wonder if they hand out associate's degrees there.
Oh, you can go fuck yourself. Primetime Brian Lee is getting it handed to him the entire match when out of nowhere, Primetime Brian Lee hits Dirty White Boy with a back elbow and gets a quick pin. Doc, I'll throw it to you first. What did you think about the match?
PPV quality on free TV. It's let's give them something that shows them what happens at the big shows. Thought it was weird, though, that it just became a match. I mean, why does Dirty White Boy get rewarded for coming down with that guys and bringing him in the ring? So, I don't know. I think Dirty White Boy brings out the best or better version of Primetime Brian Lee, so I'm okay with it.
I do, too. I think he brings out the best of them. But I don't know, Harper, what'd you think, man? Any thoughts on the match?
I was wondering, why was he a Dirty White Boy wearing those fucking red pants that said Buckshot USA on the back, like someone wrote it on it with a Marxalide.
You sure it didn't say Bucksnort USA?
Is that what it said?
I think so, because he's from Bucksnort.
Buckshot. No.
It may... Well, I'd have to look back. No, it's good. I don't know. I did notice that, though. I was like, he's got red tights on today.
Yeah.
I kind of like the black ones better.
Yeah, for real.
He's trying to get a little bit more pizzazz in his gimmick. I don't know. Who knows?
God.
But hey, you know what? Doc's right. They give him a little something on free TV right before Fire on the Mountain. And, you know, of course, primetime Brian Lee gets the win. And you don't have a no contest there. So I was good with it. Any other thoughts before we move on to the next segment?
No.
Mm-mm.
All right.
These guys are going to get it on at Fire on the Mountain, and we'll be talking about it soon.
Yep. All right. We got the next segment. It's Phil Rainey and the Dirty White Boy. They are promoting the August 14th match between Primetime Brian Lee and the Dirty White Boy, which is a Texas death match. I got it queued up. Do y'all want to listen to it? It's promoting what's coming up after Fire on the Mountain.
Seems like it would be out of order, but let's hear from DWB.
Well, I thought that too at first, but then I thought to myself, well, you know, they're still trying to draw people into the buildings when they go to different towns. And if you think about it, yeah, let's promote it, because again, they're not saying that who's going to have the belt if you pay attention, and they're not talking about the belt at this point. They're just saying they're going to have a match. So let's cue it up.
Wrestling fans in Morristown, Tennessee, get ready. The Major League's professional wrestling coming your way. Smoky Mountain Championship Wrestling at the Tally Ward Recreation Center on Saturday, August the 15th, bell time, 8 o'clock. Wrestling in Harlan, Kentucky at the Kaywood High School Gym on Friday, August the 14th, bell time, 8 o'clock. On the big wrestling card, a street fight. Make your plans to be in Johnson City, Tennessee for Fire on the Mountain, August the 8th. We'll ring the bell 8 o'clock there in Johnson City, Tennessee at Freedom Hall. In Knoxville, Tennessee, Smoky Mountain Wrestling returns to the Knoxville Civic Coliseum Friday, August the 21st, bell time 8 o'clock. An I Quit match, Tim Horner takes on Buddy Landell. In a pile driver match, Paul Orndorff meets Ronnie Garvin. And Ricky and Robert, the Rock and Roll Express, take on The Stud, Robert Fulton, and Jimmy Golden. In a Texas death match for the title, Brian Lee meets the Dirty White Boy. In this, no disqualification, no time limit, 30-second rest period, 10 seconds to answer the bell. It will be a Texas death match to the finish for the title.
You know what, Brian Lee? I'm sitting here, I'm a betting man. I'll bet everything that I own, son, that you have never in your entire career in professional wrestling have ever been in a Texas death match. Well, my man, I've been in a whole lot of them. I've been in so many of them, I can't even count them all. And you know what, Brian? I've never lost one. You understand what I'm saying? I have never in my entire life lost one Texas death match. Now, you know, Brian, I may lay down. Listen to me. I may lay down and let you pin me four or five times to build your confidence up right before I chuck it right out from underneath you, and I walk out the heavyweight champion. Because you see, prime time, anything goes in a Texas death match. Anything, son. You've never been in one. I'm a master at one. I'll see you in K-Town.
All right, Doc, what you think, man? Dirty White Boy cutting another one.
I'll take a pin to get the win. You know what? That's an interesting concept. I like that.
Did you find it strange that we're in the Smoky Mountains and we're doing a Texas death match?
No, I mean, that's what it's called.
I'm just curious. I mean, why can't we have a chemical plant match?
I don't want to spoil too many things, but let me just tell you, it ain't the only one we're going to have in Smoky Mountain.
Oh, okay. I had no clue of that. So, Harper, you there?
Yeah, I've always wondered, why is it a Texas death match?
That was my point.
Yeah.
Like, why can't we do a chemical plant match?
Hey, what does that mean?
It's just me having fun. Why can't we do a Smoky Mountain Fire on the Mountain death match?
A Gatlinburg death match.
Yeah.
Why don't we have a fan to live there?
Why don't we find the one fan that can read match?
Oh, come on, man. They hit him with it, Harper.
That's real classy, man.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Why you got to insult the
mountain hillbillies?
I can't help it if all the dentists in town are starving because nobody has teeth to go to the dentist.
I love it. I'm thinking back to when Rip Rogers called him a bunch of mountain folks, and we thought he was about to say mouth breathers. It's like Jesus Christ. All right, Lo. So let's wrap things up for at least episode 27, first part of this week's show. We got Bob Cottle after that promo, he comes back in and he's promoting the four-team elimination match for $5,000, which will take place next week. It's going to be Fuller and Golden, Nitro Danny Davis and Dixie Dynamite versus the Fantastics versus the Heavenly Bodies. It's a four-way tag team elimination tournament. He goes over the rules and everything. I'm not about to confuse everybody with that. You're right. That's what I did. That's what I did, Harper. I was like, oh, shit. Doc, you got anything before we move on? Because I sound like a guy. Harper's thoughts were, God.
There's no reason, and I mean no reason, for a four-way tag match.
Well, there is a reason. They needed to fill up time next week while they put together the highlight package for episode 29.
Let me rephrase that. There is no way Doc is ever going to like a four-way tag match.
Yeah, I'm. We talked about – I remember when you and I first met and we were talking about Monday Night Raw. We were like, why does every Monday Night Raw and every SmackDown have to end with some six-way, you know, four-way type bullshit? Because if you remember, there was a time period on Raw and SmackDown. They did that shit every week.
Yeah, they would link, you know, everyone that, like, had a feud, they would all, put them together.
Every week they did some hokey horse shit bullshit like that.
So I know we're going to talk about it in 28, so I won't give away the true farm here. But, yeah, who gives a shit?
Okay, that's really classy of you. Well, we heard the Heavenly Bodies promo, go-home promo, for Fire on the Mountain about 20 minutes ago. Now it's time to hear the Fantastics respond to the Heavenly Bodies and what they're going to do to the Heavenly Bodies at Fire on the Mountain in the barbed wire 10-foot-high steel cage match. So here it is.
Fans, we're here with the Fantastics, and Jackie has got some four-pronged barbed wire also. Bobby, I know you saw Jim Cornette's little demonstration of what barbed wire will do.
Well, you know, Bob, you know what it means to be a so-called paper champions, don't you? Well, paper champions, they're the kind of guys that they go in the ring and they don't win by ability. They don't win by, you know, by getting in the ring and having any guts. Well, let me tell you something right now. Fire on the Mountain. It's going to be the end for somebody. And like we said, right now we figure that we're going to go into this four-pronged barbed wire a couple times in that 10-foot cage. One thing about it, though, we plan on throwing those Heavenly Bodies into that barbed wire that much more. We plan on being champions. And Jim Cornette, you can cry all you want, but if you try to come in that barbed wire, you're going to end up being shredded wheat. Because let me tell you something right now. We've got Bob Armstrong inside the barbed wire. Cornette's going to stay on the outside. I just can't wait for Fire on the Mountain for that barbed wire cage match. Heavenly Bodies, you're going to get cut, and you're going to get cut bad.
Harper, what'd you think, man?
I love Jackie. Well, he's just standing there holding this fucking wire, just standing there kind of like nodding his head like, uh-huh, yeah. And kind of making these kind of faces.
Yeah, he didn't have much to say, but Bobby's ready to... Bobby's ready to make somebody bleed again.
Which they will all bleed except the ref.
Right. Doc, what'd you think?
It's personal, it's bloody, and it's for the gold. I love it.
Yeah, I think that's a good synopsis of it. It's personal, it's bloody, and it's for the gold.
You know, and the other thing here is, and this is something that I thought about watching this episode, is the Fantastics and whatever formation they had were always seen as the poor man's Rock and Roll Express. Good, but always kind of in that shadow. But they're in the top feud in the promotion, and the Rock and Roll Express are in the territory. So I know the Rock and Roll are just on their way in, but the Fantastics are in the marquee feud. So, and they deserve it. What a great promo. Everybody's going to bleed, and he can't wait.
Yeah, he can't wait. I was good with it. I liked it. Look, they did both of them in this episode, even though next week's episode is not the actual Fire on the Mountain. It's kind of a bit of a recap show. They did have some new stuff in it, but for the most part, it's a bit of a recap show, and that's why we're combining it with this one as we record it today. But I liked it, man. I mean, look, they're going into a cage, and they're going to bleed, and they want those belts that they've been chasing now. This is episode 27. I believe the belts were first awarded on 13, I think it was, 13 or 14. So, look at that. I mean, we got all these weeks later. It's time to make this shit happen and time to maybe pay off a feud. You know, nowadays, I don't know. They don't do feuds like this anymore.
No. They don't do none of this anymore.
No, right. That's true. So, hey, we're not going to hand out disability checks and government cheese. We're going to do it as a combined. I should have said that at the beginning. You okay with that, Doc? Because I didn't hand any out. I was going to combine them.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we are jumping forward now to Smoky Mountain Wrestling episode number 28, which then took place. There's some things I never thought I'd see Harper do, and it was do the Smoky Mountain theme song. So here we are, episode 28. Of course, we're still in Polk County High School in Benton, Tennessee. Now, this is taking place on August the 8th. Doc, do you recall the exact date of Fire on the Mountain?
No.
Okay. So the exact date on Fire on the Mountain was August the 8th. So we're basically airing this in this particular area that it aired the same day of Fire on the Mountain. So that's why you have a situation where it's kind of a recap show. They're just going over some things. They're not really, you know, pushing anything forward. Now, so we're gonna breeze through this one probably as quickly as we can. Show starts off. We already talked about it. Bob Cottle mentioned it on the end of last week's episode that we just finished. $5,000 prize. Four-way tag match. Fantastics. Heavenly Bodies. Danny Davis and Dixie Dynamite along with Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden. Dutch also tells us his guest on Down and Dirty with Dutch this week is going to be the commissioner, Bullet Bob Armstrong, which one of the reasons why we're covering this episode is because that needs to be played. We go to the first match. We got Paul Lee versus Hector Guerrero. During the match, Dutch tells us how he's going to get in Bullet Bob's grill during Down and Dirty with Dutch. Let's see if Dutch does this or if he takes the chicken shit heel route out. So more to come there. It's a quick match. Hector Guerrero puts Paul Lee away in the jalapeno pepper roll. I'll throw it to you, Doc. You got anything from this match?
Nope.
I got a feeling when I ask Harper the same thing, he's going to say, nope. Harper, nope. What you got?
Nothing.
Hey, Harper, before you ever saw, because I don't think we've talked to you about this, the jalapeno pepper roll. Have you ever seen that before?
I think so, huh?
I don't remember anyone doing that. Maybe it's just, you know, I'm getting old and just can't remember shit.
I remember people. Yeah, I've seen people do that.
Okay. I wasn't quite sure. We will then go to the next segment, which is Bob Cottle in a series of interviews where it's the tag team participants. So let me play it. And, Doc, I got a feeling you're just going to shit all over this, but we'll see.
From the interview, take a look and hear from the participants in today's Elimination Tag Team match.
This afternoon, $5,000 for the top teams of Smoky Mountain Wrestling and mixing Dynamite and Nitro. Tell them what happens when that happens.
A big explosion happens. Let me tell you something, Fantastic. Friends. Let me tell you something, Heavenly Bodies, not friends. Let me tell you something, Full and Golden, not friends. Friend that gets foe, friend that gets friend. $5,000 is going to be Dixie Dynamite and Nitro Danny Davis's night.
Robert, I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't know what goofball for Smoky Mountain Wrestling here booked this kind of match. You got four tag teams in the ring at the same time, brother. The Fantastics, the Heavenly Bodies, Dixie Dynamite, and that other geek TNT, whatever he calls his name. And then you got the stud stable here, brother. For $5,000, we can kick a
lot
of butt.
You just remember how big we are, Jimmy. 6'5", near 300 pounds to both of us. I'm going to guarantee you, if Mama's going to be mad at anybody, it's going to be me for whipping up on all the cablers, because all these boys are about half the size of the Tennessee stud, and I'm looking very much forward teaming up with Jimmy Golden, my partner, taking them down.
You know, Jackie, I'm so excited about today's program because we're going to get a chance to be in there with four terrific tag teams. You know, Jackie, we'd beat the Heavenly Bodies up for free, but I want to tell Davis, Dixie, Fuller and Golden, one thing, we're coming in that match for $5,000, brother, and the winning team gets it all, and that's what we're going to do today right here on this program.
You know, when you think about the prospect of winning $5,000 in a tag team elimination match, you got to look at who is the best tag team in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Well, you're looking at the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Champions right here, and you, Davis, you, Dynamite, you, Fuller and Golden, and you, Fantastics, don't even think about bringing any lead pipes in the ring, and we'll shove it down your throat, because we're going to be not only the champions, but $5,000 richer.
Doc, what you think?
I thought they were all good.
I thought they were fine.
I thought Danny Davis was actually really, really good there. Mm-hmm. Fucking stud stable was just, again, top shelf. I mean, beating on midgets and elves, and Jimmy Golden is shooting and saying, "What kind of jackass match is this?" And who booked this bullshit? And the Fantastics are serious, and they're saying, "Hey, man, we're friends with some guys, but we got to get that cash." And then the Heavenly Bodies are the champs. And the I'll just say this: the set of promos that led up to this is the best part of all of this, because the match is gonna stink, and the idea to do this was not good. So, but the promos leading up to it were pretty good.
Like I said, time filler. Harper, you got anything?
No, it's just, I just can't wait for this great match.
What a shill.
All right, we go to the next segment. It's Bob Cottle. He's recapping the Dixie Dynamite and Killer Kyle feud. Remember, Dixie, just to kind of remind you all, Dixie beat Kyle to find what was in the violin case. Kyle then attacks Dixie after finding only a roll of tape in the case. Kyle proceeds to whoop Dixie and tape him to the top rope. They then show us the end of last week, which was a Stormtrooper and Dixie's match, where Killer Kyle comes out and attacks Dixie. They show Hector come out and hit Kyle with the chair that he no-sells that we talked about earlier. We then go to the next segment, which is a Cottle and Killer Kyle promo. And what do you know? Killer Kyle doesn't say a fucking word, but he rips the Confederate flag at the end of his speechless promo. So I guess he did do a little bit of talking. Doc and Harper, I'll throw it at Harper first, man. We talked about this Confederate flag, and, you know, Dixie was over. I mean, whether you like the gimmick or not, he was – Scott Armstrong, Dixie Dynamite was over in Smoky Mountain with the Confederate flag and Dixie Dynamite gimmick. Harper, how much heat do you think that produced back in the South and in the Smoky Mountain area when Killer Kyle ripped that fucking Confederate flag?
Yeah, his actions spoke for him.
Yep. Didn't have to say a word.
He didn't say a word. His actions spoke for him.
Yeah. You think I got a lot of heat, though, ripping that flag up?
Yeah.
Doc, what'd you think, man?
I was hoping that we could change the stip on this from a whatever they're going to do at the boxing match down the road to a everybody leaves town match.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen, buddy. Sorry, I hate to break your heart on that one.
Well, shoot.
But anyway, so, hey, I liked it. You know, he didn't have to talk. He ripped the fucking flag, and that did all the talking for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like Harper said, I was good with that one. We go to another segment. It's Cottle throws us to the Orndorff and Ronnie Garvin video package. They show Orndorff beating Gary Scott, and then they replay the Orndorff promo where Orndorff tells Garvin what he's going to do with him at Fire on the Mountain. Basically, if you recall earlier, we said that Ronnie Garvin, you know, they played the promo where Ronnie Garvin's telling Orndorff, hey, when I pile drive someone, they don't get back up. They're out for the count. Your pile driver is not as strong as mine. Therefore, I'm going to beat you. And Orndorff is responding. Doc, you got anything before I move forward?
Well, I think just to give everybody a preview of what's happening, I believe the Orndorff-Garvin Fire on the Mountain match will be in episode 30, so in a couple of weeks. Just wanted to ask you guys, how you think Orndorff and Garvin will work snug and make it look good and lay their shit in as two rugged vets?
I'll let you go ahead, Harper.
I think so. I can't wait to see this.
That's two old school bruisers right there, bro. They ain't going to hold nothing back. They're going to go out there and put on a show for the fans, man.
Yeah.
That's veterans that have been there and done that, whether it's WWF, WCW back then. That's two fucking tough sons of bitches. They're going to lay it to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't seen, you know. That's if I hadn't even seen it. So, they beat the shit out of each other. All right, we got the next segment. I really enjoyed this. I'll play it. It's Down and Dirty with Dutch. Dutch is with Bullet Bob Armstrong, and I want to repeat something. Recall at the beginning of the episode, Dutch saying, "I'm gonna get some answers from Commissioner Armstrong." Basically, making it sound like I'm on his ass. He's not gonna pull his bullshit on me. I'm gonna freaking question him for all the shit he's doing. So keep that in mind as the chicken shit heel Dutch gets into this. Which, of course, when I say chicken shit, that's a compliment.
I'd like to welcome everybody to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantel, and you're not. But today, my special guest on Down and Dirty with Dutch is none other than the commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Mr. Bob Armstrong. Mr. Armstrong, I'd like to welcome you on the program today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Dutch. It's nice to be here talking with you, and I understand you have a few questions that you'd like to ask me yourself.
Well, as you know, Mr. Armstrong, I have never disagreed personally with any of your fines or any kind of your momentary damages that you've assessed wrestlers. You know, I agreed with everything you've ever done, and I think Smoky Mountain couldn't have a better commissioner than you, and I've said that many, many times on the program, but a lot of people have written me, and they've said, Dutch, we would like you to ask, since I am the voice of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, they have asked me, they said, Dutch, why don't you ask Mr. Armstrong some questions, and I've compiled some of them today, and I'd like to ask you if you don't mind.
Well, certainly, go right ahead.
In the case of the fining of Paul Orndorff for using the pile driver, now, you would fine Paul Orndorff for using the pile driver, but why not say Primetime Brian Lee for using the cancellation? Now, why Orndorff and not Brian Lee?
Well, the answer is very simple, Dutch. The cancellation is a move that stuns you in order to win a match. When you pile drive a man, he can be injured permanently, and I've seen it happen. I'm not going to allow it in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. We're not going to have that.
Well, let me ask you another question now, since I have your attention here. In the case of the Fantastics and the Heavenly Bodies, you stated, by your own admission, Mr. Armstrong, you stated, I'm not disagreeing, no, sir, I wouldn't do that, but you stated by your own admission, you were giving the Fantastics complete leeway in their matches with the Heavenly Bodies. And remember the altercation they had several weeks back, the windshield broken out. Why don't you do anything to the Fantastics about that?
Well, Dutch, if you'd have been listening, you'd know that I did do something. I fined everybody. I did fine the Fantastics $1,500 apiece. I gave them leeway, but I didn't know it would go that far. When it did go that far, everybody paid the price.
So you did fine the
Fantastics? I did fine them $1,500 each, as well as Mr. Cornette and his Heavenly Bodies.
Well, my mistake. I didn't know that
well,
you had fined them.
Now you know, Dutch.
You did fine them.
I did fine them.
My last question, in the case of the... Let's go back in time a little bit. Let's go back to the Volunteer Slam, Brian Lee against Paul Orndorff in the finals. Uh-huh. You entered the ring, and I'm going to have to say this. Now, this is not me. This is people writing in and asking me that you donned two hats. You not only were the commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, you were the referee also doing the match. Now, why did you wear two hats? Why did you jump in the ring as a referee at that particular point?
Well, at that particular time, if you'll remember, the referee was flat on his face and knocked out. I was the closest man to the ring. I had the belt in my hand, and I was going to see that the fans in Smoky Mountain Wrestling had a champion that night. And so I assumed the responsibility of the referee, and I gave the belt to Brian Lee. He is the champion, and that's
what I'm saying now. You gave the belt to Brian Lee. That's what started the controversy in the
first
place.
I gave him the belt because he won the match.
He did win the match.
Is that simple enough? He won the match. He's got the belt.
It's not me. It's not me. It's the fans. I've never disagreed with anything you've ever done, but believe me.
The fans write me, too. And I want to tell you what Smoky Mountain stands for. We don't have any impersonators like Little Richard impersonators. We don't have wrestlers that go out in bad taste. We like role models here. We like athletes here. We don't charge high prices. We charge regular prices that families can attend. We don't charge $10, $20, or $30 for pay-per-view. Why am I going to sit in my house and pay $30 to turn on my TV set when I can go down to my local arena and see my favorite stars in person and get their autograph?
I agree with
you. That's what Smoky Mountain stands
that's
for.
That's right.
And that's as long as I am commissioner,
listen up, you little
it's going to be that way. So you folks, welcome to Smoky Mountain Wrestling. We're going to go to all the small cities that all the big operations think they're too big for. They're not going to go to those small cities, but we're going to be there. Smoky Mountain's going to be there all the time, and we're glad to talk to you and sign your autographs. It's been my pleasure, but not really.
Thank you, Mr. Armstrong. We'll be back next week, down and dirty with Dutch. Thank you.
There's a lot there, Doc. I'll let you go first.
Man, Dutch is awesome.
Dutch is great. Dutch has it down. I mean, look, fuck, man. We don't have to say it. Dutch has it. Dutch knows what he's doing, man. He's a great heel. He's a great heel commentator. He's
not
a great
me.
Heel wrestler.
It's not me. It's the fans. I've been getting
this. How many times did he say that?
Yeah.
He said that at least five or six times. It's not me. It's the fans. It's the fans. They want to know.
So I had a couple of things. Bob Armstrong said we're not going to have characters in poor taste. And last week we had the Stormtrooper out, so I'm going to throw a flag on and call BS on that. And then he's taking shots at Mark Mero, Johnny B. Bad there. I wonder if Brad Armstrong beat him on Saturday night the week before and he was mad about it or something. Shit.
That was a great line. He said, we don't have any Johnny B. Bad impersonators.
Little
like,
Richard. He
I'm
said
sorry,
Little Richard.
Little Richard, right.
We don't have any Little Richard Johnny... I hated that Johnny B. Bad character. It was so awful.
I never got it. It's like, why would someone? It's no.
And he had
I
that
don't
long.
Think I thought much of it.
He had that long feud with DDP.
You're right.
Yeah.
He stole what's her name from him?
His Kimberly.
From, yeah. Kimberly. That was I remember that feud. That was weird, but I don't know, man. I just that was straight because Bob is ending it, and then he just like, let me tell you what Smoky Mountains are about, and he went straight for Mark Mero. We don't have any Little Richard impersonators. And the thing that made me laugh about that was I will never forget the first time I saw Johnny B. Badd. I was like, that dude looks like Little Richard.
I'm just surprised you know who Little Richard is.
You can go fuck yourself is what you can do.
Mm.
But anyway, it was good. Harper, you got anything else? I really enjoyed the promo. I really enjoyed the segment.
It was a good promo, and he's choking on a damn cigar afterwards.
I just love Dutch hiding behind. It's not me, it's the fans. It's not me, it's the fans. But when not even 20 minutes ago in the episode, he's saying, I'm going to get in Bullet Bob's grill. I'm going to find out what's going on. All right, we don't have anything else from that segment, so we'll go to the next one. And there's no way I'm going to give play-by-play on this match. Doc, this was a four-way tag match for the $5,000. Nitro Danny Davis, Dixie Dynamite versus Fuller Golden, the Stud Stable, Heavenly Bodies versus the Fantastics. This, to my knowledge and my research, is the longest match that I can remember to date in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Doc, would you want to refute that or disagree there?
Well, it just seemed twice as long as it really is because I hate the premise going in. But, yeah, it is very likely to be the longest bell-to-bell we've had, except for maybe that Metal Mountain Mayhem Battle Royal.
I don't even think that was as long as this. I'm going to go back and look now that you said that, but I don't even think that was as long as this. Harper, you want to take a guess at how long in minutes this match was, bell-to-bell?
It was like 20 minutes, huh?
I'm going to tell you, it was 21 minutes and 29 seconds from bell to bell.
That's almost half their fucking episode.
Half the episode. So again, we got four team elimination rules. You can tag anyone in. It's not just your tag partner. If you don't want to accept the tag, you're DQ'd. So as soon as your team member loses, the entire team is done. So it's not like singles. If your team member or teammate is disqualified or pinned, you are out. So I'm going to fast forward 10 minutes into this thing. Dr. Tom gets the pin on Jackie Fulton. As soon as that happens, Bobby Fulton clobbers Cornette with the racket, and then he nails Dr. Tom, who's in the ring. This allows Dr. Tom to get pinned, which eliminates the two favorites in this match, which would have been the Heavenly Bodies and the Fultons. Doc, you got anything before I proceed? Because that was like a milestone in the match, so to say. That's why I'm stopping.
Yeah, if we complain about the WWE for pinning their champions in non-title matches, I got a big problem with that. So this is bullshit.
That's a good point. That's a great point. Harper, you got anything?
No, it was long.
I love it. We come back from commercial because, you know, it's a 21-minute and 29-second match, which we oftentimes will sit there and say that, you know, they don't do commercials, I should say. They don't go to commercials during matches, unlike Monday Night Raw does. It's Nitro Danny Davis, and he is a bloody mess.
Yeah.
And he's just filthy with, you know, Fuller and Golden pounding on him. Davis, he takes a pound, and he finally gets the hot tag to Dixie Dynamite. Fuller and Golden get control of Dixie in the ring. Danny Davis is out cold on the floor at this point because Fuller hit him with a folding chair. Now, remember, Davis is out from one chair shot to the back. But Roman Reigns got nailed with brass knucks and kicked out on two with no blood coming from his forehead a few weeks back during the pay-per-view for WWE. So I just wanted to point that out. Danny Davis, one shot across the back, but Roman took brass knucks to the head and no blood. But we get just to go back to the match. So this thing finally ends when Gibson runs in and attacks Fuller and Golden. The referee calls for the DQ since Gibson interfered, which gives Golden and Fuller the $5,000 check. Doc, I got a feeling you don't like the way this thing ended.
I don't like any of it.
Nah, no. Well, my point was, here we have a match that you already didn't like, and now it's not going to end in any way, shape, or form that you would be supportive of. So, That's why I mentioned that. Harper, you got anything?
The one thing I loved was when Nitro Danny Davis is showing color. I forget which one of them, but they're on top of them. And they must have realized the camera was on them, and they start ripping at his face. And it's just blood shooting down his face, and he's just ripping at his face, and then he's just, just fucking selling. And yeah. I remember as thinking, dude, if I was, you know, a kid watching that, I would have been like, what the holy shit?
You might have been terrified.
Yeah, like that right there would have had me watching every fucking week.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And I didn't have it in my notes, but that's true. Because it kind of goes back to the whole thing about selling and making it believable.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people don't just seem to do now. But yeah, you're right. He was selling it. Doc, you got anything else before we go to the for the closing promo of the episode?
No.
Okay. So, again, Fuller and Golden get the $5,000 check, not because they pinned anyone, because the referee calls for the DQ. So I'm going to play the promo that closes out the episode with Jimmy Golden and Robert Fuller.
I don't think it get any wilder than that. And the winners are the $5,000, Jimmy Golden and Robert Fuller, but you had some help.
See that fool come up there and hit me in the head with that cowboy boot. He's got a knot on my head as big as a goose egg. Robert Gibson, I'm going to tell you something, boy. I can take a licking and keep on ticking, brother. We got the $5,000 here, brother. We won a lot of things in our lifetime, and this ain't all of it. We're going to win us some more because we're the best tag team in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. We're going to win them tag team belts. We're going to win us some more money, and Robert Gibson, I'm going to win me some more. You're hired, boy.
You know, I'm not just another pretty face come out here just yabber, talk. I'm not a talker. I'm a doer. And I'm going to tell you something. A picture's better than 1,000 words. And there's your picture right there. That's $5,000 consisting of Jimmy Golden and Robert Fuller are the very best tag team in the world, much less Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And I'm going to tell you something. Gibson, you go get your old partner back there, baby. You go on and get him. You see how much good that little old munchkin's going to do you, son, because you're standing up against right now what was the stud stable and is now reunited, and that is the worst news you boys ever had. Get you some flowers. Get your ambulance at the back door because somebody's going to the hospital.
Right, there you have it, Jimmy Golden, Robert Fuller. Next week, highlights from Fire on Demand and the return of Rock and Roll Express. We'll see you then.
All right, Doc, that's the last promo before Fire on the Mountain for this team and the Rock and Roll Express, man. What'd you think?
I just think the Stud Stable is a perfect team for the Rock and Roll to come in and get started with. It's just I like the two main tag team feuds, and I think they're matched up well. And it's a hell of a good feud to start with for the Rock and Roll. Lots of good feuds. I'm ready to go to the mountain and start a fire, if you know what I mean.
Right, I'm right there with you.
I'm ready to go jip jiving, socializing, and get to Fire on the Mountain, brother.
I don't know about all that. What the hell ever, Harper? What'd you think, man?
Let's do this.
Let's do it. I agree. I love the thing that Fuller said in that promo that I love. He said, "I'm not a talker, I'm a doer."
Great line.
Yeah.
Yes.
While even though he is a talker, while he's talking,
right. Right. I'm not a talker, I'm a doer. So even though he's talking, I still loved it. I loved it. So all right, let's hand out some disability checks for combining these episodes. So this is going to be a kind of a weird thing. Doc, I'll let you go first.
Well, there's the eight-way tag eating up all the time there is going to take a big wet bite out of the disability checks. So I'm going to put it at a 6.2.
Ironically, I got it at a 6.5. This is rough too, because we're combining two episodes here when there was some good stuff in episode 27. Not so much good stuff in 28, but you know what we did earlier, but there was definitely some good stuff in 27 to me. So combining them, if I did them separately, 27 would get a higher ranking than 6.5.
Yeah.
28 would probably get a lower one. But Harper, what you got on the check?
Six.
Yeah, I can definitely agree. And Government Cheese Award. Before I do so, we need some more patron members. Go to mikemills.podbean.com and click the Become a Patron button. We depend on you to help us out with the show. It is your way to support the show. These free shows that we do each and every week. We got 8 episodes a month that drop between Smoky Mountain and our flagship show every Thursday night, Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast. So please consider becoming a patron member. It costs $1 or $2 a month. MikeMills.podbean.com. Click Become a Patron. Follow us on Twitter as well, @BTT_podcast. I'm @Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper is @CJHWhoDat. He posts a lot of pictures of naked women, so go follow him. @CJHWhoDat. Yeah, he posts all his ring rats like @Mullet of Morton does.
Hey, you know what? Let me tell you something. I went out and got an extra shipment of bricks in to build out that paywall. Let me tell you something. These free shows can go away. Just like your girlfriends did when they saw you take off your pants. So just remember, sign up.
You're trying too hard to be a heel.
I'm just telling you, I will build the wall. It's shin high right now. You can still step over it, but I can change that.
It's so full of bullshit, it's not funny. Like us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. And while you're there, click the Shop Now button to go to our Pro Wrestling Tees store and pick up a couple of BTT Podcast and Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast t-shirts while you're at it. We definitely appreciate if you did so. And while you're at mikemills.podbean.com, check out the Amazon referral link. If you're shopping on Amazon, we get a little bit of small kickback from Amazon when you use our link. So bookmark it. Use it each and every time you shop on Amazon, and we definitely would appreciate that. All right, let's hand out some Government Cheese Awards. We got Government Cheese Award presented by longtime listener of the show, Shar Johnson, on Facebook. I got to give my Government Cheese Award to not the last promo we just heard from Forlorn Golden, but when it was Down and Dirty with Dutch from episode 27 with the Stud Stable. I just thought that was wonderful. So Stud Stable, Down and Dirty with Dutch was my Government Cheese of the week when Fuller goes, "I beat their ass," and then those ponies looked up at me and said, "I love you." So that's my Government Cheese. Doc, who's your Government Cheese?
I'm going to hand out two. One is for Dutch Mantel. Mine is more for the Bob Armstrong Down and Dirty on 28. And, man, I didn't think I'd ever give this guy Government Cheese, but I'm going to hand it out to Killer Kyle for standing there and taking one hell of a chair shot and no selling the fuck out of it.
He took that bitch, didn't he?
Yeah. Like, man. He didn't flinch. It was like if it was a cardboard chair.
I mean, dude, it's hard to no-sell a chair shot like that, too. God damn.
When your entire spinal column is tingling, like...
Yeah.
From all the synapses getting scrambled.
It sends, and I know they don't do headshots anymore, but it sends a sensation down your spinal cord that is hard to explain.
Kind of like when you hit a baseball with an aluminum bat and it's cold outside, you don't hit it good and it kind of ring in your hand.
Yeah. And that's just on your arms. That's not your head and spinal cord. The bell ringing.
And after the first time that happened to you, you didn't think, maybe this isn't the best thing for me to be doing.
I think I've told this story on the flagship show before. Actually, I remember it happening a few times, and I was in the back talking to Iceman King Parsons, and Iceman was like, "Man, brother, you got to put your hand up, man. Put your hand in front of your head. Don't take that chest shot on that cranium like that, man. Don't do that." And I did start putting my hand up at that point. I was like, fuck this shit. Because before that, I was always, you know, like, I'd listen to some of them old veterans. "Don't be a fucking pussy, boy. Fucking take that fucking shit with your head. Don't put your fucking hand up. Don't be a fucking pussy." And, you know, you're fucking dumb. You're 21 years old. You're 20 years old. And you're like, fuck this. I'm going to show how tough I am. And now I'll sit here at 41 like, fuck, why did I ever do something so stupid?
Yeah, fuck that. You fucking idiot.
Right?
I thought you got an associate's degree.
Yeah, you know how those veterans are, man. They sit there and they put that guilt trip on you and, "Oh, yeah, don't be a pussy." And Fuck. And then you think back, like, what the hell was I thinking? I actually think that's one of the good things that WWF does these days. Man, don't WWE does. Don't. No, there's no need for headshots. You can use a chair across the back and still get the same effect.
Yes.
I think I'm okay with, like, a garbage can to the head because that aluminum caves in.
Yeah, it's like a big Coke can.
Right. It's, I mean, you feel it, but you don't feel it nowhere near like you feel those folding chairs. A metal folding chair wrapped across your skull sends a shock down your spine like you cannot imagine. Not only in your head do you feel your brain just rattle uncontrollably, but the shit that you feel all the way down to your fucking tailbone and your ass is killer.
You think Danny Hodge and Lou Thesz ever had this debate?
No.
Probably not. Harper, who's your government cheese?
Anybody? Killer Kyle with that fucking chair shot.
That chair shot.
Coat hanger.
That's the second or third time he brought that out, huh?
Really?
Coat hanger?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, he brought it out before. He brought it out on... He might have brought it out on Dixie once before. I can't remember. Maybe not Dixie. Maybe on one of the other enhancement talents. But he's brought it out before, which is kind of awesome in itself.
Yeah.
Code hanger. So, all right. That is going to wrap up our episodes 27 and 28 of Smoky Mountain Wrestling that aired on August 1st and August 8th of 1992. Check us out, like I said, on Twitter. Become a patron member. Please do so. Look, there's little as one a month, as much as two, as much as nine a month. I don't expect many people to do the nine, but please do the two. MikeMills.podbean.com. Click the Become a Patron button. If you love our shows, we would greatly appreciate it. And thank you, man, for your support. Everyone out there who is a patron, Armando Martinez, Matt Kovacs, Boone Hauer, Dan V, David DeVries. God, I know I'm missing a few right now, but look, we definitely appreciate your patron membership, so keep it up. And thank you, man. And we will eventually drop a... We might do that today. I'm going to throw it on the guys, see if they want to do a quick one, like a 10-minute one, where we talk about the Dallas Cowboys rat house. Who knows? Anyway, with all that being said, for Mike and Doc, you got anything before we get out of here?
Nope.
We're getting ready to do Fire on the Mountain in a few minutes. Harper, you got anything before we get out of here?
Nope.
For Mike and Doc and Hardbody Harper, hit the tagline and get us out of here. I don't know if we got any more promos that we didn't play from the last 2 weeks, but if we do, they'll play now. Other than that, Harper, hit the tagline.
Book it, bitch.
You know, Ronnie Garvin, it seems to me that you get these hillbillies, these rednecks here out here. They worship Ronnie Garvin, the man who beat everybody that ever came around it, wherever it may be. But I'm going to tell you this now, Ronnie Garvin. You've never stepped in a ring with a man like Mr. Wonderful, the man who has it all, the man who power drove Hulk Hogan, the man who power drove Andre the Giant. Ronnie Garvin, you're next.
I'd like to welcome everybody to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantell, and you're not. But today, my special guest on Down and Dirty with Dutch is none other than the commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Mr. Bob Armstrong. Mr. Armstrong, I'd like to welcome you on the program today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Dutch. It's nice to be here talking with you, and I understand you have a few questions that you'd like to ask me yourself.
Well, as you know, Mr. Armstrong, I have never disagreed personally with any of your fines or any kind of your momentary damages that you've assessed wrestlers. You know, I agreed with everything you've ever done, and I think Smoky Mountain couldn't have a better commissioner than you, and I've said that many, many times on the program, but a lot of people have written me, and they've said, Dutch, we would like you to ask, since I am the voice of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, they have asked me, they said, Dutch, why don't you ask Mr. Armstrong some questions, and I've compiled some of them today, and I'd like to ask you if you don't mind.
Well, I certainly go right ahead.
In the case of the fining of Paul Orndorff for using the pile driver, now, you would fine Paul Orndorff to use the pile driver, but why not say Primetime Brian Lee for using the cancellation? Now, why Orndorff and not Brian Lee?
Well, the answer is very simple, Dutch. The cancellation is a move that stuns you in order to win a match. When you pile drive a man, he can be injured permanently, and I've seen it happen. I'm not going to allow it in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. We're not going to have that.
Well, let me ask you another question now, since I have your attention here. In the case of the Fantastics and the Heavenly Bodies, you stated, by your own admission, Mr. Armstrong, you stated, I'm not disagreeing, no, sir, no, I wouldn't do that, but you stated by your own admission, you were giving the Fantastics complete leeway in their matches with the Heavenly Bodies. And remember the altercation they had several weeks back, the windshield broken out. Why don't you do anything to the Fantastics about that?
Well, Dutch, if you'd have been listening, you'd know that I did do something. I fined everybody. I did fine the Fantastics $1,500 a piece. I gave them leeway, but I didn't know it would go that far. When it did go that far, everybody paid the price.
So you did fine the
Fantastics? I did fine them $1,500 each, as well as Mr. Cornette and his Heavenly Bodies.
Well, my mistake. I didn't know that
you'd
fined them.
Now you know,
Dutch. But you did fine them.
I did fine them.
My last question... In the case of the, let's go back in time a little bit. Let's go back to the Volunteer Slam, Brian Lee against Paul Orndorff in the finals. Uh-huh. You entered the ring, and I'm going to have to say this. Now, this is not me. This is people writing in and asking me that you donned two hats. You not only were the commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, you were the referee also doing the match. Now, why did you wear two hats? Why did you jump in the ring as a referee at that particular point?
Well, at that particular time, if you'll remember, the referee was flat on his face and knocked out. I was the closest man to the ring. I had the belt in my hand, and I was going to see that the fans and Smoky Mountain Wrestling had a champion that night. And so I assumed the responsibility of the referee, and I gave the belt to Brian Lee. He is the champion, and that's
what I'm saying now. You gave the belt to Brian Lee. That's what started the controversy in the
first place. I gave him the belt because he won the match.
He did win the match.
Is that simple enough? He won the match. He's got the belt.
It's not me. It's not me. It's the fans. I've never disagreed with anything you've ever done, but believe me.
Listen, Dutch, the fans write me, too. And I want to tell you what Smoky Mountain stands for. We don't have any impersonators like Little Richard impersonators. We don't have wrestlers that go out in bad taste. We like role models here. We like athletes here. We don't charge high prices. We charge regular prices that families can attend. We don't charge $10, $20, or $30 for pay-per-view. Why am I going to sit in my house and pay $30 to turn on my TV set when I can go down to my local arena and see my favorite stars in person and get their autograph?
I agree with
That's what Smoky Mountain stands
that's
for.
That's right.
And that's as long as I am commissioner,
up, you little
it's going to be that way. So you folks, welcome to Smoky Mountain Wrestling. We're going to go to all the small cities that all the big operations think they're too big for. They're not going to go to those small cities, but we're going to be there. Smoky Mountain's going to be there all the time, and be glad to talk to you and sign your autographs. It's been my pleasure, but not really.
Thank you, Mr. Armstrong. We'll be back next week, down and dirty with Dutch. Thank you.